opening thought. It's in Hebrews 13. Turn there with me. This is just an opening thought for us. Hebrews 13. Where are we going? Where are you going? Where are we going as a church, as believers? Soon it'll be 2019. And where did the year go? I think it went into eternity with your life. You have stored up treasure in heaven. Where did the time go? Time passed, but all that we have done in the name of Christ, in the Spirit of Christ, is eternal. It's not in vain. It isn't fading like a flower. Where our physical body fades like a flower, but we are putting treasure in heaven in our life of faith. Living by faith. When we hear God in our prayer, in our heart, in our spirit, when we hear God and believe what God is saying, when we hear God in the Bible, in the church, in the pulpit, in the listening ears of his people, we are honoring him and respecting him, listening in humility to what God is saying. In a time in our world where there's a lot of emotion, I'm going to share a little bit about that later. Don't miss church services because God is speaking and we need it for learning and for our preparation for the future. I believe Christ is coming back, period. Is he coming soon? I believe he is. I believe we are watching and waiting and anticipating the work of God, and we are understanding the ways of God. So it is not a time for our hearts to be careless, our hearts to be hard, hardened hearts, but our heart to be soft and be available to God and listening to God. And the end result, look at Hebrews 13 with me, please. It says, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Rule over you. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Rule over you. Rule over you. Remember them which have the rule over you. Well, no one is ruling over me as like a dictator, but Christ is ruling over me using the scripture, the Holy Spirit, in the kingdom, humility, and then he has put people in my life that have more wisdom, they have a living faith, and they have an end result, the end result of their life. Look at verse 7. It says, who have spoke rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, many of us, we recognize our history because we've been on the Christian road for more than 40 years. And the pastor that pastored me, Dr. Stevens, and many of us, we remember. And he spoke to us the word of God. But it was more than a man. It was the Holy Spirit using him to establish us in our faith, that we would not be moved to and fro like in a windy sea when ships are moved easily by the wind and tossed to and fro. And this world of emotion, there's a lot of feeling. The psychology of today is a psychology of feeling. What do you feel about this? What does this do to you emotionally? What is your, what happened to you? How do you feel about it? What is the damage that has been done to you? Emotionally, this is what they mean. And it's a very unstable world when you are counseled based on emotion. That people would get offended at Jesus because he would offend their emotions. Those kind of people like us, we get hurt by what is said because the truth, it says in Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than a sentimental love. You know, if you're an athlete or you play in athletic sports, you need a coach that's tough. Guy's going to help you. He's not going to be living in feelings. He's going to give good counsel. By the way, in the law, world of law and civil authority, it's not supposed to be emotion. It's not supposed to be emotion. It's supposed to be truth and justice. And that's amazing. There's much to say about it, so maybe you can follow me. Give me grace. Help me. Just say, Pastor, I don't agree with you, or I don't understand what you're saying or something. Well, don't worry about it. Just keep coming. It'll get better and better. It'll get clearer. You'll understand me. But I didn't finish. Verse 7. They have spoken unto you the word of God. And we know the word of God is like a sharp sword. Hebrews 4:12. Well, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. In the ancient world, a sharp sword, today we would say razor sharp scalpel of a surgeon. Very sharp. The Bible is very sharp, and it pierces soul and spirit. Goes to my thoughts and intentions. Beautiful. This is what we want God to be in our spirit. We want God to visit us in our spirit. Yeah, for God to put truth in our spirit. Isn't it good? It is. It's what changes our, helps us. It's better than emotion. It's spirit. It's a communion. It's love and truth. Verse 7. For whose faith follow, so you follow these people, considering the end or consequences of their way of life. You imitate their faith. You are watching them to see where it brings them. Let's take the Apostle Paul. Where did truth bring him? It brought him into this spiritual understanding that though he was in a prison, yet he had authority in his letters. He had authority in his relationships. He had at least 20 men he mentioned in his epistles that he had a loving connection and wisdom and truth between people. I have to say, when I work here on our staff, I'm in tears when I think of working with John Hadley, Pastor Jim Hadley, Pastor Steve, Pastor Taggart, Pastor Philippe Siragi, Pastor Shabelli. I can't believe that at this time in my life that I am blessed with such a great group of people. And the ladies, Purio and Ula and Jen and many, Debbie and many of these people that God has put together, a team. I would like to end up like considering the end result of their faith. Now, finally, this actually is turning into my message, but I didn't intend it to be, so I think I'm going to stop in a minute. We had Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? You did? Okay. I praise God if you did. If you didn't, we've got God. Amen. God is leading us and teaching us. But I have to say, our family, I think there were 19 of us together, and we spent time together, and we opened the Word, we talked, they played Monopoly, the young kids played Monopoly, did kayaking, walking, cycling, spent time, and it was just, and there were times that I could just step back and look like I'm invisible, and look at these people and say, every life is precious, every life is a gift, every life has a potential of finding the end result of our faith, the end result of our faith, the benefit of our faith. But I also want to say, emotions, which is where a lot of people live, is very unstable way of thinking and living. In my emotions, being hurt, being angry, being frustrated, feeling discredited, there's an injustice. There's many reasons for us to live in our emotion. But in church life also, in church life, I may not be satisfied or I may get offended, but would you please listen to what we are saying? There is a beautiful way God has ordained for us where we can have relationships that go on and on. And I don't mean with two or three people, but I mean with hundreds of people. Hallelujah. You might say, I don't know 100 people. You hang around and you will. You will know them. Hang around, show up, you will. And the relationships, listen, we have a new identity. Every one of us have a new identity. Every one of us have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us are born again. And all of us have this ability to be learning to think with God and learning to think with what the Spirit is saying and leading us in truth. And God says the truth will set you free. And you'll be free indeed. It'll be from the inside, this truth that liberates us in the Spirit. And we become worshipers of God. And the Spirit of God leads us in this love and hunger for God. And this love and hunger for God takes care of a lot of the lower level things that happen in the world. The lower level things that happen in life. By that, I mean the details of life, the flat tire, the running out of gasoline, the rent payment, the lack of this or that, or the disappointment in a relationship. I call those things like lower level things that can be very powerful. But David said, I have always set the Lord before my face. I have learned to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Amen. Wow, weren't those great words? Wow, couldn't we put the words up for one more, the last verse there, just to look at it, think about it again? Nobody like you, nobody beside you, there'll never be anyone, anything like you. Yeah. Isn't that good? Let's say it again. Would you stand with me? Nobody beside you. You got the tune in your heart, right? Because wasn't that good music? No, let's do it. Nobody beside you. There will never be anyone anything like you. One more time, two more times. Nobody beside you. There will never be anyone, anything like you. One more time. Nobody beside you. There will never be anyone, anything like you. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. That's God. Isn't that good? Let's turn to Isaiah to read it, actually, if we can. I just want to jump on that. And, of course, I like the style of the music for some reason. I don't know if you guys did, but okay. Look at Isaiah 44, verse 8. Isn't it great that anything you hear, you got a Bible verse for it? Isn't that amazing? Not anything, but a lot of things. 44, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Is there any God beside me? I love, listen to this part. Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Can't you see God saying that? Is there any God like beside me or like me? No, I don't know any. I haven't seen anybody hanging around from eternity past. I don't know anybody who knows all things. By the way, here's a little side point. God says, I know the end from the beginning. Question, can the devil read your mind? Okay, what does the devil know? Now here's a verse, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar that let's look, turn quickly there for a second. Daniel 2. You know, Daniel chapter 2. Okay, 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king. He interpreted the dream, and he said, God knows your dream. God does it. But he said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Can they do it? Another way of saying that is, does the devil know your dream? Does the devil, can he interpret? Does the devil know the end from the beginning? Can the devil know the secret things of God? He can't. Why couldn't your astrologers and your magicians know what I know? Because my God knows all things, and my God knows. But your gods don't know, and the devil doesn't know. And the devil cannot read your mind. The devil does not know the future. I would say even the devil doesn't know who the Antichrist is. There'll be a time when he will realize it. But there are many Antichrists, but God knows. And I would say even angels don't know. Angels are very intelligent, by the way. Angels are very intelligent and very enlightened. But they don't know the time of Christ's coming. The angels of heaven do not know. No man knows but my Father in heaven. So we are worshiping nobody like him. I know not any. There is no God like our God. Our God is the one that we are in fellowship with today. And he's going to show us deep things, personal things, and important things for our lives. God will take care of you. God will guide you in your life. God will deliver you from your trouble. God will help you. God will comfort you. God will release you. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. God will teach you. God will show you what he wants you to know out of this book, and it is enough. The devil is a robber and a stealer and a liar and a tempter. He is the evil one. He sows the false seeds. Okay, you may be seated. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, please. I'm going to have a good time here. Luke 8. And we have the chapter 8. Verse 10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This is a good word for us. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Verse 11. Do we have it up there on the screen? Verse 12. Hello? Hello? It's okay. Verse 12. Hey, our tech department is amazing. I love these guys. They do a good job. They do. Chapter 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I'm afraid of God taking the seed out of the hearts. Well, let me say, I'm afraid the devil will take the seed out of the churches, that churches will not be preaching the word. I am afraid that the devil will take the word out of the country. In the Soviet Union, they took the word of God out of the country under communism, and in China and Vietnam and Cuba. Take the word of God out of the country, take it out of the church, take it out of the heart of a person. So this is possible. Then verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root. These have no root. Would you meditate on that for a minute? These have no root, have no root. Say to your neighbor, these have no root. Just turn to your neighbor, these have no root, root, root. Let's draw it. Here's part of what I want to say today. Inside a person, there's different motives, motivations, action, movement in the hearts of people. We will call this motives. In the world of the unsaved, where there are unsaved people, there are abstract lives that are lived for self, a self life. But when we are born again, we're given a new heart, and there's new life in us. Have you felt it? Have you sensed it? Have you sensed the new life of Christ in your life? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit moving you? Have you sensed the peace, the quietness, the Spirit of God? Yes, I hope you have. If you haven't, you can come up and talk to us about it after service this morning. Just come up and the pastors will stand here and we could have a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for you to give you some direction, or simply listen to what we are saying this morning. These have no root in themselves. They hear the word, they get happy about it. Their friends maybe believe, they believe, they get happy about it. But then comes the trial. And this world of feeling is dangerous, because I don't feel God, or I don't feel that this is right, or I don't feel that this is going my way. It's very, very strange, because there's two parts to what I want to say. The Word of God is seed, and the Holy Spirit is God who visits and lives and teaches us. The Holy Spirit manifests God to us in this world. Holy Spirit is God. He is totally and completely God. As Christ is completely God, He is God, and the Father, He is God. And in their relationship, there's an economical, organizational, administrative relationship between the three, because the Father sent the Son, and then the Son and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that dwells in you and teaches you and guides you into the truth. And you can't change that language and say, the Son sent the Father to die on the cross, and the Holy Spirit died on the cross, or the Holy Spirit sent the Father. You can't change that administrative order. It's not scriptural. The reason why you can't change it is because it's not biblical. Don't think of it any other way than the way that the scripture has it. That the God so loved the world that he sent the Son, that whoever believes on him, that is God, would not perish but have everlasting life. And those that believe are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is teaching you and showing you the reality of God. This is beautiful. Prayer is fellowshipping with the reality of God. Now, we talked about feelings. I'm just saying, giving a warning out to us that we are very feely people. We have a lot of feelings, and many times feelings are what motivate us. But be careful, because the feelings that we have in our sin nature are not dependable. There may be feelings of love, there are feelings of guilt, feelings of shame, feelings of fear. There are feelings of convenience and comfort and self-gratification. But we have found another way, a deeper way, a better way. And this is our subject. So these people do not have roots. We maybe should... I got the wrong pen. Okay. here is the world of feelings in and I want to put in here, make a subnote, and I like psychology, I love Bible psychology, and I appreciate people that are caring for the souls of men. But in our secular world, psychology is very much based on feeling. And these feelings that are related to guilt, also fear, rejection, and also shame. They are real. And when in the world, in the church, it can also be the same, that people are living in their feelings. And when people get offended, but they just feel awkward. They feel that this is not right, or they feel like uncomfortable. But I want you to see that Jesus said about the end times. In the end times, people will be lovers of themselves. And there's a list in 2 Timothy 3 of these, this profile of end time people. And that's another sermon, but to say that... there will be false prophets telling you what you want to hear. False Christs, false religions. There will be lying spirits, miracles. There will be people that cannot endure sound doctrine. They cannot endure it. They cannot handle it because they live in their feelings. You can't say that to me. Who do you think you are? You offended me. You hurt me. And so on. Well, this is very important to us because we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read there with me. I've got two more points and we will leave you hungry, I hope. You're going to be hungry for more. Okay, chapter 4, verse 2. Well, chapter 3 describes the end time people. Chapter 3, verse 2, lovers of their own selves. And then it goes through a long list that characterizes end time people. I believe we are in end times and we could fit into this description as a people in general. But the good news, when we are born again, we have now a means, a resource with another set of motive. Look it up on our screen here, this one. We have new motives now. Now, these motives, we have love motive. God loves me. I love God. That's new. I love God. God loves me first. Now the Holy Spirit is in you. I love God. The love, fruit of the Spirit is love. You love God. Do you always feel it? Not necessarily, but we have the mind of Christ. We have truth in our mind. And God says, Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love the Lord. I will love the Lord. Listen to that word, will. I will. I'll put here a little sub-point here. This is where the devil, he doesn't like it, that we have our own will. I will love the Lord. Love. A new motive of grace, we'll speak about it. A new motive of faith. New. We have faith. We have faith in God. We will. We love. We give grace to ourselves. We give grace to others. We'll see that in a minute. Now go to chapter 4, verse. How do we know? By the way, I want you to see chapter 3. There's the bad news of chapter 3, and there's the good news of chapter 3. Look at verse 10. You have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. I am hated in the world. It says in John 16, look at this. Hated. There's hate in the world. There's hate in the world. Can you be hated? I don't want to be hated. You'll be hated. If you believe in Christ and follow Christ, you'll be hated. Just write it down. I'll be hated. I will be hated. Can you handle that? No, I don't want to be hated. Why not? What's the problem with being hated? Well, that's not good for my feelings. You're right. It doesn't. We don't feel warm and cozy when we're hated. We feel insecure and victimized. When I'm hated, I don't want to be hated. You'll be hated like Jesus was hated. How are you going to survive that? You got to have roots in yourself. Where do the roots come from? They come from the Spirit of God, the new birth. The new birth so that when I hear the word, it goes in my new man. And in my new man, I am built up in truth. not necessarily my feelings, but I'm built up in the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is better than the feelings of Adam. The mind, the doctrine, you have fully known my doctrine, he said to Timothy. So then he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, or 15, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. From a child you have roots in yourself. From a child, that's a blessing for Timothy. He has learned this. Wasn't his mother Jewish? His father was Greek. His father, we don't know about him, but his mother and his grandmother, Lois, was teaching him the word. How many people have we met in the inner city of Baltimore who have been taught by their grandmothers? How many grandmothers have invested in their grandchildren? And how many grandmothers have sat down with their grandchildren, grandson, granddaughter, and imparted to them the word of God, like Timothy and his grandmother and his mother? And Paul said, you are the man because you got the scripture. Look up at our screen here. You can live in your feelings or you can live with roots. And you got this one, the word. And you got the Holy Spirit. So you are capable. You are very capable of living in a world that is being tossed to and fro with a lot of emotion. Let me say one other thing. False teachers will increase now. Now, why? Why? Because the times we are living in, and listen to this. Okay. Are you ready? Anybody, any bozo, can open a website and make videos and tweet his opinion and his theology. Any bozo can go on the internet and get an audience. Anybody can teach anything they want to and get an audience on Facebook and around the world. Anybody can do it. Now, don't get any ideas. But you could, but you're not a bozo. Who are you? Here's what we're talking about. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. It's amazing when we submit to those that have the rule over us, considering their faith and the end result of their life, like who they are. And be careful, you don't evaluate a person based on their bank account. If you applied that to Christ, what would you have? You don't equate somebody based on being comfortable and safe and secure. That only means that they were able to tiptoe through life and avoid scandal and lie down in a quiet abode somewhere and disappear into oblivion. But that's not what our New Testament is saying. Our New Testament is saying we are salt and light. We have a message. We have salvations. We have a mission. Christ changes people. We have answered prayer. We have a vision. We are in a battle. We are in a time where people live based on their feeling and it doesn't bring them anywhere, just to more feelings. Just follow their life. It's feelings, 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 feelings. And I quit the football team because my feelings were hurt. And somebody else has an NFL Super Bowl ring because their feelings were hurt, but they grew up and lived in something bigger than their feelings. Well, that's just to use an athletic analogy. This isn't about athletics. This is about the kingdom, the Bema seat, the judgment, eternity, using my time, my resources, my gifts, my blessings. This is about the kingdom of God against demonic activity that is very real, where the devil has a very real enemy that is in this world, and he is a deceiver and a liar. He is called a serpent. He is called an adversary, a slanderer. He is called the evil one, the day star, or Lucifer, translated in King James. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the tempter. He is the destroyer. But we have found that our God, there is no one like our God. Thank you, Lord. Nobody, nobody like him. Our God sent Christ so we could know God. What an honor. What an honor that we know God, we walk with God. Wow. Beautiful. Let's go to see what's ahead of us here. It says, the scripture is given by the inspiration of God in verse 16 and is profitable. It is profitable. It'll help you with your feelings. It'll help you with your mindset, your target. What's the target? What's the target? Here's a little tip. When you live your life, listen, here's a hunter. He's got a gun or a bow and arrow. He's a hunter. And he's in the woods. And he sees the target. What is he doing? He's studying the target. And when he is ready, he lifts his weapon. And but he doesn't lift his weapon. He doesn't walk around like this. No, he has to get his target. I have to find the target, study the target, make an evaluation regarding the target, and when I am ready, I will attack the target. When I am ready, there's a process. We are people that don't even know what's going on. We're walking around the woods. We don't even know there's a target anywhere. We're not looking for one. If we saw it, we wouldn't know what it is, and then we're not prepared. But you and I must be in a fellowship. And by the way, the church is weak without a target. We need to be in a fellowship where we realize what is the target. What is it that we're looking at here? We're looking at the plan, maturity. We're looking at the Spirit teaching us. We're looking at God. We're looking at the scripture, we're looking at the world we live in. We're asking God to show us and lead us. And I see something. You see, the Spirit says, forgive. So I see I have a target. Forgiveness is important. I need to forgive. I have to forgive. I raise my and I shoot at the right thing. The people that are lost in the world, we need to have a target and realize this is important. I ask God to help me hit the target, to show me a target. Show me what's going on. Unity in the body, that's an important part of life. If I don't have unity in the body, then where will we find the testimony of Christ? That's so important. The scripture teaches us these things. It is profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness. Now, chapter 4, and we're going to finish. Chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul could say to Timothy, you got to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Timothy could say, but that's going to hurt their feelings. Paul would say, yeah, they don't hurt their feelings. You're going to lose a lot of people. A lot of people will not listen to you. They will not put up with it. But it'll even be worse in the end times. It'll even be worse in the end times. They will not be able to handle it. When you tell the truth to them, they will walk away from you. When you give the truth out, it'll be even worse in the end times. That's written there. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't handle it. It attacks their self-life. It attacks their comfort zone. They will get offended. Look at the, aside from the politics of the Kavanaugh hearings with the Supreme Court judge, regardless of your opinion about it, I'm not representing any party. I don't care about politics, but I want to make a point. It was a lot about feelings. Feelings. It's a lot of this world, in the political world, and in our culture, it's about feelings. But life shouldn't be based on feeling. It should be based on truth and justice, on something higher. Families divide over feelings. People get hurt because of their feelings. People at a Thanksgiving dinner might get offended because of something that has to do with the lower nature that we all have. But I'm encouraging you to have a target. The target is that I believe that God has made us to be one and to be mature and have Christ's mind. I believe that there's something bigger here. And regarding our country, there should be a lot of understanding between people, but that understanding has to be on a higher level than my own opinion. Just because you're in a room somewhere and you're on your computer tweeting and Facebooking and communicating, and you feel you are at the center of the universe, and your feelings are what count. What kind of deception is that? Is there such a thing as humility before God? I mean, I'm talking to me, all of us. I'm not better than anybody. We're not any better than anybody. I'm just talking about the nature of things. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will not, cannot stomach having Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was here in this world today, and he would walk into any room or go anywhere, including churches, and he would tell the truth, I wonder how many of us could handle it. It would rock our world. On the other hand, it would light us up. We'd be like fire. It would stir us, our hearts. We would repent in our heart. Not formal religious repentance, but in our hearts. We'd say, God, oh, thank you for coming to me. Thank you for speaking to me, encouraging me. Thank you for edifying me in the deepest sense. When the seed is planted and there's roots, then it grows and it bears fruit and it stays like a long, long time. My tree is planted by the rivers of water. My tree, this is what we say, our trees are planted by the source, the reality of God. Can the reality of God handle any persecution, any hatred, any rejection? It can. Can it handle anything that this world would ever measure? Yes. And just because a majority of people reject truth doesn't mean that you go with the majority. And just because you can't stand being hated doesn't mean that you deny Christ. I can't stand being hated. I just can't get involved. I can't stand it. I can't handle it. No, there's a better way. You can handle it. You can. You can. Look at the last thing. It's chapter 4, verse 3. After their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will find those teachers on the internet. They will find those teachers everywhere, anywhere. They will be active teachers having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth. These are these abstract teachings of different kind of organizations that branch off from Christianity, and you can be a Buddhist worshiper, or Jesus is an abstract spirit. But do you ask them, is he the one that died on the cross? Is the Jesus you're talking about the one that in shame and foolishness died on the cross? That's the one that I would, him, that's the one that I worship. That historical one, the one that died there, that's my hero. That's my savior, that's my God. Oh, no, you know, well, these are different age, this is a different period, all of those things, you know how it goes. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. This is the falling away. I didn't really hit my point this morning, though we hit many good points, and some of it is just what we need to hear, I believe, but we've run out of time. But I would like to say that because of our new birth, we have a devotional life. And tonight I want to speak about our devotional life in our message tonight, having a devotional life of worship and being Spirit-filled, the Spirit teaching us and guiding us in truth. And we are those that say, I'd rather have one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather have the truth that hurts me. Ooh, ah, man, I'm going to get hated for Jesus' sake. Okay, God help me. Than to have it like, I'm out of here. I got to have it too. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me about that. I got my own thing. And I say, okay, but you could grow. You could grow. You can learn. You can become salty. You can get doctrine in your soul. You could have something in your heart that's from the Holy Spirit. That's a new motive. And this new motive that's kind of churning on the inside, that new thing that is happening, and now this love is leading you. Yes, I will go to the church, even though there's a lot of people I don't know there. But I will go there anyway because I'm hungry for truth and the Spirit is moving in my life and I want to find God and walk closely with God because I will win if I know God. If I trust in Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and I don't lean on my own understanding, I will find Him directing my path and I'll come out in a better place. God will lead me and guide me in a better place if I accept truth and walk in it. And that's a beautiful way of life. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's say this prayer for the people listening. Father, for people listening, that they would be stirred, spoken to, guided, led, filled with your Spirit, that people that are not believers would become believers just now by making their own decision now, today, the coming weeks, months, and say at one point in time, I believe you are born again when you believe in Christ. You are born of the Spirit. Then turn from your own way, your own feelings and opinions, and start to and be humble and submit to God, and these roots will grow, and you will find a new life in Him. Much to say about it, but that's good enough for now. Say to Jesus, I believe, and walk by faith in Him in Jesus' name. Anyone in the auditorium saying the prayer of salvation, just raise your hand, please, anyone at all. Yes, to Jesus. Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone at all? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me for the benediction? Could the pastors come down front, please, if you would like to just come down and minister to people? If you have a prayer request, a need, you have something you're looking for, God can help you on a prayer. Or something in your life or in your heart, you want a word of counsel, advice, encouragement, the pastors are here. You can talk to them. Yes. How many feel God spoke to your heart today? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for answering our prayers today. And send us and bless our week, work, home life. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.